This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A three-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited, thrilled, delighted to be here with you on this wonderful Thursday. We have so much to get into. None of it includes Thursday night football. Now, I might watch part of Broncos and Saints, but no part of me is going to waste my time or your time discussing Broncos and Saints on the show. We have too many other things to get to. Bill Barnwell has a very interesting trade proposal involving DeAndre Hopkins. We'll tell you what he thinks it would cost to get their star wide receiver. We're going to head to Columbia and catch up with Gabe DeArmond in about 45 minutes or so. Yesterday we were in Lawrence. Today we are going to Columbia. Tomorrow we are going to Manhattan to catch up on the K-State Wildcats. Danny Parkins returns to the show for the first time since he has become a big television star. We are going to have a lot of fun between now and 6 o'clock. Again, we appreciate you listening and making us a part of your day. Coming up in just a bit, we're going to discuss the San Francisco 49ers, and I think they're in a little bit of trouble. But before we do that,
pizza time on The Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now. Caller number 6, 913-586-7965. Caller number 6 wins a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tassio. Pizza Tassio is Kansas City's best New York-style pizza, and they have taken over the town. They got locations all across the metro. They got Waldo, Belton, North KC, OP, and Midtown. They also have a killer selection of craft and local beers, plus unique wines. So whether it's a slice or two, or you're hungry enough for a whole pie, be sure to visit them now at pizzatassio.com. That's pizza, T-A-S-C-I-O.com.
I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends that if you want some of the best pizza and you're getting ready for Chiefs and Niners, the best place to do that is with us right here on 96.5 The Fan. All right, let's start the transition. We have talked a lot of wide receiver over the course of the last couple of days. We'll talk a little bit today, but it's time for us to start to make that shift to Sunday's matchup against the San Francisco 49ers. And speaking of the Niners, today I was on ESPN.com getting ready for the show. You know, I write down stats, I find audio, you know, I'm getting ready. And then I just clicked over on schedule with San Francisco. And what I found was pretty interesting. I'm not 100% sure that San Francisco is making the postseason. Now, we're going to head to the Bay Area coming up later today and catch up with their morning host and see if that is a worry that they have on their side. But I'm not entirely sure that they're making it. So right now, the San Francisco 49ers are 3-3. They're kind of getting saved by the fact of right now, they're in the weakest division in the NFC. The East at least has a stronger team than them right now in the Washington Commanders. The NFC North is certainly stronger than the NFC West. I would also say the South, when you've got a team like Atlanta, when you've got Tampa Bay, both of those teams, in my opinion, have played a little bit better and more consistent football than we've seen San Francisco do so far this season. But if you're looking at their schedule, I imagine many of you have them losing this weekend. That sends them to 3-4. They go on the road to play Tampa Bay. That's one of the better teams in the NFC. They go on the road to play Green Bay. They go on the road to play Buffalo. They play Chicago coming up in about 6 or 7 weeks or so. They go on the road to play Arizona, a team that just beat them at home a couple of weeks ago. They also have a Sunday night football game against the Detroit Lions. I'm not entirely certain that this San Francisco team is making the postseason. This is a much stronger and deeper NFC than maybe we had anticipated before. You look at the NFC North, for example, you've got four teams that already have four wins. That might be a division that grabs three spots. So the division winner and then a couple of those wild card spots. This division, this conference seems very, very wide open right now. And San Francisco hasn't really done much to separate themselves and put themselves in that upper echelon. We talk about San Francisco as they are one of the elite teams in the league, and the roster certainly warrants that conversation and what they've been able to accomplish over the course of the last 5 to 7 years or so. But that's not the way that this season is playing out. If you want to play the who have they beaten game, their three wins are against the Jets, the Patriots, and Seattle. So not really a who's who. They played a good team in Minnesota. They lost that game. They lost a home game to Arizona a couple of weeks ago. The injuries are starting to mount for this team. No Christian McCaffrey, no Jordan Mason. They didn't have their kicker for a little bit. It has taken them a while to get Brandon Ayuk going. George Kittle has dealt with some injuries. This is a team that feels a little bit banged up, a little wounded right now, and you're coming up on a stretch here where you play Kansas City, you play Dallas, a team that is about where you are. You go on the road and play Tampa Bay. I'm not entirely certain. I'm not entirely sure if San Francisco is going to make the postseason. And it certainly, Rob, something that we need to track over the course of the next couple of weeks and see if San Francisco kind of creates that separation between them and some of the other teams in the NFC.
It definitely has the makings of the Niners falling short. Like, there is a non-zero chance that we at some point this, you know, January, February, maybe December, are talking about, oh man, the Niners are on the outside looking in, or oh, they're the wild card team because they played so poorly the division got away from. Those types of things are 100% possible. Like, it would not stun me, but it would surprise me. But man, there's just something about a Super Bowl hangover. They haven't had a team go back to the Super Bowl that lost Super Bowl in, what, 10-plus years? And that includes multiple teams that have missed the playoffs in those windows. I think the Niners are talented enough. I think they have the coach. I think they have all the makings. But right now, they don't look like that sort of team. So I would bet them making the playoffs, but I don't think I would fall out of my chair if they didn't.
I want to play one cut for you guys here in the open. Nate Taylor was on the morning show earlier today, and he was asked about the wide receiver room and the depth. We spent a lot of time talking about it this week. We won't spend as much time. We're going to start that transition talking about San Francisco. But listen to what Nate had to say about the wide receivers, and he's pretty confident that the Chiefs are going to make a trade at some point to strengthen the room.
Now you have a baseline of what to expect from, hey, if we make a trade, is it going to be a third-round pick? Is it going to be a fourth-round pick? Obviously, you're not going to go towards a second or a first-rounder. So the Chiefs can come back after this game against the 49ers and say, okay, we have another sort of sample size to assess our own receiving group. What receiver can help us sort of complement Travis Kelce and Juju Smith-Schuster? Is that a Deontay Johnson? Is that a Darius Slater? Those are some of the players that you could think about. If I have to say right now, I do think the Chiefs will make a trade for a receiver.
I believe the Chiefs are going to make a trade for a wide receiver at some point as well. I gave you guys the analogy yesterday in buying a TV. There are really high-end televisions. If you want to spend $1,500, $2,000 on a television, trust me, you can get a very special television. But if you don't want to spend that amount of money, maybe you've got $500, $700, you can still get a good TV at a good price. I don't believe the Chiefs are going to be in the wide receiver one category, at least a first-round pick or a second-round pick, But having 2 third-round picks does give you a little bit of flexibility that if you want to pick up a 27, 28-year-old Deontay Johnson, you are going to have the opportunity to do so. If you want to spend a little bit less money than that, maybe you don't have $500-$700. You can't get that 75-inch TV, but you can get a nice 42-inch TV. All right, you can spend a 5th-round pick. You can spend a 6th-round pick. You can get somebody who can step in, add to the depth, and really round out that room. So I'm with Nate Taylor on this. I do think that the Chiefs are going to add to that wide receiver room at some point between now and the deadline, and we are just trying to see who that can be. Maybe I have put the Chiefs in a little bit of a box because a couple of years ago, they did make a trade. They traded for Kadarius Toney. Kadarius Toney was not a guy who had played in this system before. He was a guy who wasn't working out with his previous employer and you thought had a lot left to give, and you added him to the team. So maybe our scope is a little bit too narrow in who they could potentially add at the position. Maybe it's not just Darius Slayton and DeMarcus Robinson. Maybe this team is looking to cast a much wider net on who they could potentially get. One of the appeals of going to get Kadarius Toney was he was under club control. He was still on his rookie contract. Maybe we got to start looking at some first round picks or second round picks, guys who haven't worked in their situation. The Chiefs bring him in to this environment, this situation, and see if they can get something out of him. So I still think the Chiefs are going to trade for a wide receiver. Obviously, nothing has changed. We are still a couple weeks away from the deadline. The deadline is not until November 5th. So we still got some ways to go until the Chiefs sort of have to make that move and have to make that decision. And we'll also see how the next couple of weeks play themselves out. I do think a very important thing to note in this entire conversation is how much do they believe in Hollywood Brown coming back this season? Because we've already kind of let the conversation go when it goes to Rashee Rice. The conversation now shifts to Hollywood Brown. Is Hollywood Brown going to be able to play in the final 2-3 regular season games to give himself a little bit of a runway leading into the postseason? Is he going to be a guy who can just step in that first postseason game? I think over the next couple of weeks, we will get a clearer picture on how they feel about Hollywood Brown. That is going to help us sort of manage our expectations about who they can or will not add in that wide receiver room. Coming up on the other side, Spectre cut 2 takes that he has about Chiefs and Niners. I want to play those for you. We're also going to be joined by Gabe DeArmond of Power Mizzou coming up in 30 minutes. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
All right, I want to play a couple of takes from our boss, Steven Spector. We might have to add this as a segment. Spector says, because Spector has these opinions when we're talking about the show and talking about the game and what he thinks. And I always just tell you guys, but you know what? Maybe I should just play what he says and you guys can hear his opinion. I don't want to misconstrue anybody's words. So, all right, I have two cuts today from our boss man, Steven Spector. He doesn't think that there's a lot of buzz for this game. I'm kind of inclined to agree. And we were going around and asking why this doesn't feel like a Ravens week. This doesn't feel like a Bengals week. If the Chiefs were playing Buffalo, it feels like it would be a bigger deal. Here is Spector's hypothesis. This is his take on why he doesn't think there's a lot of buzz for Sunday's matchup against San Francisco.
All right, guys, I would argue that this game doesn't have the same energy as it should in a rematch of two of the last five Super Bowls for one very simple reason. I think there's a little sports exhaustion coming off the Royals playoff run, right? Tuesday and Wednesday against the Orioles, everybody's all in. Big emotional games, including two at Kauffman Stadium against the Yankees. I think this last 7-8 days following the Game 4 loss in the ALDS has been a good chance for Kansas City sports fans to take a deep breath and recharge. And I think you'll get that feeling back on Sunday, even Monday after the 49ers game. But that's why this doesn't feel like there's a lot of buzz in the city for it.
Okay, I thought this was a pretty interesting take. This is my stance. And someone on the text line said this, and as I thought more about it, they're absolutely correct. I wish I knew who it was. I'd give them a pizza. I think over the course of the last 3-4 years, the only games that you guys get really fired up about in the regular season are either divisional rivalry games or games against teams that you feel could potentially be in the Chiefs' way. If the Chiefs were playing the Ravens this week, a team in the AFC, a team that they're competing for the one seed, it would be a buzz and an energy around it. If the Chiefs were playing Houston this week, a team that you think could be a one seed, a team that you think Kansas City would play in the postseason, there would be a different energy for it. There's really no value in a Super Bowl rematch if your team is 2-0 in the games, and losing to San Francisco just has no consequence to Kansas City. You beat Cincinnati earlier this year. You beat Baltimore earlier this year. You play Houston and you play Buffalo later down the line. So I think you all know the Chiefs are going to lose at some point this season. I don't think anybody believes that they're going 17-0 in the regular season. So if you lose a game to a team in the NFC, it's kind of like a, eh. I just think it's hard to get you guys to react to one individual regular season game. Now, the Chiefs go on a 3-4 game losing streak. Sure, panic, but that's every football city in the country. I just think because San Francisco was in the NFC and San Francisco was not a roadblock to anything that you have going on until the final game of the season, I just think it's really, really difficult. And it's not like you guys look down on San Francisco. You guys look down on Cincinnati because of how they've talked over the course of the last couple of years, because of the Burrow head, because of the mayor, because of them beating you in the AFC championship game. It's kind of hard to get that worked up about a team that's never beaten you with Patrick Mahomes as the quarterback. At least that's my theory for why this game feels a little bit different. Now, once you get to Sunday, it's the Chiefs are playing. You've got 325, you've got Tom Brady on the call, and it's the Chiefs and the Niners, two of the better teams in the National Football League. There's certainly going to be interest and a buzz, and we'll certainly discuss it on Monday. But leading into it, this just feels like a regular game. This doesn't feel any different than going into the Saints game. This doesn't feel any different than going into the Atlanta game. This feels like a your average, typical game. All right, I want to play one more thing that Spector said. So that was his first take for you guys. 913-586-7965. Let me know what you think. This was his second take of the day.
All right, guys. I would argue that this is the most important game on the Chiefs' schedule for one reason alone. Have you looked at the rest of the schedule through the month of November? It's at Vegas, Monday night at home against Tampa, home against Denver, obviously that big game in Buffalo on week 11, at Carolina, home against Vegas. There's not a loss in there. So this is really a pivot game. A win against San Francisco means that you really can lose to Buffalo with no real consequences. And if you're undefeated going into Buffalo, you're already playing with house money. Now, if you have a loss and then you go into Buffalo and lose, that makes the schedule a little bit different heading into the month of December for playoff seeding purposes. But a win against San Francisco basically sets up the next month of Chiefs football for them to be undefeated going into December when they host the Los Angeles Chargers. It's not the most important game because it's an NFC game. It's the most important game on their schedule because of the way the schedule lays out.
Now, you guys are going to take this next comment as negative, but I think some of you would agree. I don't think you can ever predict the next Chiefs loss. They will just lose one that they're not supposed to. Like, they will play okay against Tampa Bay, and they'll just lose. Or Denver will just randomly beat them, and we'll just not be able to explain how Denver beat them. So I get what he's saying. And the schedule, it does kind of look like if you can get past this game against San Francisco, you should beat the Raiders. That's a team that's in disarray. You have back-to-back home games. You've got Monday Night Football against Tampa Bay, and then you've got a game at home against Denver before that matchup on the road against Buffalo that will certainly get everybody going. Right before Thanksgiving, two best teams in the AFC. You guys have played each other back-to-back times in the playoffs. That is the game of the regular season for Kansas City. Maybe you could argue Houston later in the year because it's a home game, but I think we'd agree Buffalo is just a different beast given the quarterbacks in this matchup and given the history. I don't agree with that take from Speck, but Rob, I will say it is pretty interesting, at least his thought process regarding Chiefs and Niners this weekend.
So before I get to the Chiefs and Niners, let's talk about his first take, because I don't think his second take is correct at all, and I don't want to waste too much time talking about how an NFC opponent in October is the most important game on the schedule, because if the Chiefs lose, they don't really lose any ground in the AFC. If the Chiefs win, they don't really gain any ground in the AFC. Like, that doesn't affect the one seed race. Doesn't affect the AFC West race. I mean, if you do lose and you still have one loss team headed into Buffalo, you still have a game in hand on Buffalo. Like, I just do not see eye to eye on the most important game take at all. So there's no point in wasting too much time talking about that. I don't think he or you are right about why there's a lack of buzz in town about this Chiefs game. I understand your NFC opinion, and I understand his Royals opinion. I think they're both valid thoughts. But you want to know why I think there's no buzz in town for this game? Man, it is hard for Chiefs fans to care about the NFL until they see it again after a bye week. Everyone in town is an NFL fan. Everyone listening is an NFL fan. But they didn't watch the NFL the same way last weekend they usually do. They just didn't. They went, they got their, you know, their chores done. They did some honey-dos. They maybe went to the grocery store. They treated it like, hey, it's the wife's weekend. They treated last weekend different. They still watched football, but it was not nearly the same level. So it was a bye for the fans as much as the players. And it is hard to restart the cycle of energy until you see the game again. So that's why there's no buzz. Is you're not coming off of anything interesting, and the Niners game was a week ago now, so there's nothing interesting to talk about with them, or if there was, it's dead and gone. So you just kind of feel like in this lazy, you know, whatever energy. Sunday at 3:25, I think people will kick out of that, but for now, I think people still have bye week ho-hum energy in town. It's not the Royals.
Yeah,
I don't
think.
It's not
the NFC. Yeah, I don't think that that's it, and we've had this conversation a little bit, and we can have it again. I think the Chiefs fans have just turned into NBA fans. I think they just turned into NBA fans. There are certain NBA games that just get you fired up. Opening night, Christmas, those games just get you excited. But for the most part, it's how did your team match up for the postseason? It's hard to get a Denver Nuggets fan or a Boston Celtics fan really excited. I would say the same thing happens with Kansas basketball. Rob, you're a KU fan. There's certain games in the regular season that you're going to get fired up for. You're going to get fired up about North Carolina. You get fired up about Missouri. There's going to be a handful of games. But even as good as San Francisco is, this isn't one of the five most important games on their schedule. It's just really hard, I think, to have that buzz and energy for the eighth most important game on your schedule. That's just not the way that people treat the regular season, especially when you know your team is making the playoffs, you know your team is making the division, and right now there are bigger fish to fry. Like I would say, let's say that the Chiefs lose on Sunday night, right? Let's say they lose. I'm not saying they will, just a prediction. Let's say they lose. Let's say that they make a trade Monday at 9 o'clock. What's the bigger story? Is the story that they traded for Deontay Johnson at 2 o'clock, or is the story that they lost to San Francisco? You and I would agree. The story is by far and away that they traded for Deontay Johnson. Yeah. They could trade for Darius Slayton. We lead with Darius Slayton.
DeMarcus Robinson would be the lead. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, so I think at least for Kansas City, the week-to-week grind of it, sure, the games are super exciting. I don't know if fans ride the highs and lows of the regular season the way that every other team in the NFL does. Is you know that your team is good. Every other team in the National Football League has an uncertainty about them. If you're Baltimore, can you beat Kansas City? If you're Buffalo, can you beat Kansas City? If you're a team in the NFC North, who's going to win our division? Most of the things that get you really fired up or anxious about the regular season, Chiefs fans have no anxiety about. Are you worried about the Chargers? Are you worried about the Broncos? The Royals were so fun because you were in the middle of a race. You were looking at the Tigers. You were looking at the Guardians. Those games mattered. You're looking at the standings. When was the last time, if you were a Chiefs fan, you looked at the standings? So just some of the things that make you feel alive, so to speak, as a NFL fan, you just don't have. You've become an NBA fan. That's what it is. Just make the postseason. We know you're going to have a high seed, and then we'll see who's healthy, and we'll see how you match up. You now cheer for the Milwaukee Bucks.
I think maybe to your NBA analogy, they don't wait to the postseason. It's when the calendar turns. Like, they play the Steelers on Christmas Day. The 4 days before Christmas Day, they played the Texans. And I think they have the Broncos in the year. I could get that wrong. But there's a stretch in there in December where it's a lot of short weeks against AFC contenders. Chiefs fans will care then. Chiefs fans will lock in. Remember last year, it was Christmas Day against the Raiders, and it was New Year's Eve against the Bengals. Chiefs fans locked in because now it's playoff push, playoff time. But I think you're right. The average Chiefs fan is treating October like a let's just see where we're at. But we know things don't matter until they start playing Christmas music. We know things don't matter until the neighbors put the Christmas lights up. Then we lock in. Then it's time to go. But I don't think Chiefs fans have an energy and a passion week to week the same way other fan bases do, which is why, and you were on in San Francisco, they probably said this is their Super Bowl. But for the Chiefs and their fans, that's not how they operate in October.
When you go back in time, and we got Gabe DeArmond coming up in about 15 minutes or so. When you go back and you think to the Super Bowl from earlier this year, what's the thing that you think about the most? Is there a certain memory that you have the most? Because I can tell you very easy what it is for me. I still do not understand how San Francisco won the coin toss and then decided to take the ball first. We watch a lot of college football, Rob. We played a lot of the college football video game. You and I have had some overtime games. Have any of us ever decided, you know what, I want to be on offense first? No. There's a lot of things that we can debate. I love debate. I love opinions. And we can have different opinions on things. Maybe there's a time that you would have went for it on fourth down where I wouldn't have went for it. Like, those are things that we can go back and forth. I have never heard a convincing argument. I have never seen a convincing argument. I still to this day don't understand, other than you didn't know the rules, why you would choose to take the ball first in overtime, knowing that the other team 100% gets another possession at the end of it. It still makes absolutely no sense to me. I don't think about Usher's halftime performance. I don't think about Taylor Swift being in the box up there with Blake Lively and Ice Spice. I don't think about Mecole Hardman's game-winning touchdown catch. I still think of, I'm screaming at the television, what? I still can't believe it. I think that Kyle Shanahan is the second best coach in the NFL. I think Kyle Shanahan is a borderline offensive genius. Kyle Shanahan has been around football his entire life. His dad won multiple Super Bowls. He's been in NFL locker rooms. He knows NFL strategy. Rob, can anybody explain to me how San Francisco chose to get the ball first in overtime and then not just took the ball first in overtime, they then decided to kick a field goal in overtime, knowing that they had the other, knowing that that man was on the other sideline. I would have much more respect for San Francisco if they said, all right, we're going to take the ball first. We're going to, this is four down territory and we're going for two. We need to try to score 8 points on this possession. Wait, you saw what Mahomes just did on the last drive in regulation, and now you're going to give him the ball with all he needs is a touchdown to beat you? You should have went home right then and there. They should have dumped the confetti right there on the Kansas City Chiefs. They didn't need to play that last drive out. We all knew how that drive was going to end.
It is, honestly, and Kyle Shanahan has had a lot of head-scratching play calls, decisions in Super Bowls. It's sad for Kyle Shanahan, but like, continuing to throw when up against the Patriots, kept the clock stopped and kind of hurt him. That third down against the Patriots that may have lost the Falcons Super Bowl, those are head-scratching. There were moments in the Chiefs' first Super Bowl that you think of Kyle Shanahan, what are you doing? What's going on? I don't understand the thought process. It might be the most puzzling coaching decision in Kyle Shanahan's career. The only explanation to me is he just didn't know the rule. Because there is no way, none, that he knew the rule and thought to himself, I want to take the lead. Because even if they had scored a touchdown, and I know they didn't and the Chiefs win, but even if the Niners go right down the field, score a touchdown, and it's, you know, 26-19 Niners, the Chiefs are going to go for every fourth down. The Chiefs are going to go for two. The Chiefs are going to try to win on that final possession. When you win the toss, you defer. The only explanation I have, he didn't know the rule. There's just nothing else that makes sense to me.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense. Some gentleman listens to the show. He's a Niners fan. He says, our defense was tired, C-Dot. Get over it. Why put our defense back out on the field? Your defense got a lot of rest in the offseason. They got all the rest in the offseason that they needed.
Also, they were rested and still gave up a touchdown the next possession.
They got all the rest in the world.
They watched Brock Purdy get the ball first. They rested up. They got the oxygen tank going and then came out and gave up a touchdown. So, no, it's not rest. No.
Even then, even if Kansas, like, so let's say it plays out the way you and I would have done it. I would have taken the ball second, right? You let Kansas City go score. Kansas City scores a touchdown. We know that they're kicking the extra point, right? Like, they are not going for two to go up eight. They are going to go up seven in that scenario. Then have the ball. It's four down territory. You know exactly what you need to do, and then give yourself the option to go for two right there and win the football game. Like, there is no argument, not a single argument you can make for San Francisco letting Kansas City get the ball second in that scenario. None. The team that gets the ball second has the advantage. You cannot win in the overtime format if you get the ball first. You cannot win the game. It is impossible. Only the team that gets the ball second can win the game. So why would you put yourself in a scenario in overtime in which it is impossible for you to win? It never made any sense to me. And then they tried to explain it as they were playing for the second overtime as opposed to the first one. So wait, you're playing for a part of the game that's not guaranteed as opposed to the part that is guaranteed? No. Sometimes you know what you got to do. You just got to say, I blanked up. That's it. Hey, man, my bad. Sometimes you turn the ball over, you throw the ball out of bounds, and you just got to point to your own chest and say, my bad, dog. That's on me. It's mind-blowing. Kyle Shanahan has had some monumental postseason gaffes, is what he's had. Monumental. They were up 28-3 in the Super Bowl. They lost. They lost the Super Bowl. They then were up 20-10 with less than 8 minutes to go. They lost, and they chose to take the ball first, and they also had a double-digit lead. Like, Kyle Shanahan, brother, what's going on? What's going on?
The second overtime thing is still...
It's bad. It's just bad.
That was some of the logic that came out after the game. I'm playing for the second overtime is just insanity to me. Hey, we plan on there being a second overtime. We're just prepped for that. So then we have the advantage. So you conceded the advantage early? This makes no sense.
Yeah, and then the text line. C-Dot, Shanahan was stuck in the past and thought if they got the TD, they'd win. He was playing by the old rule. I mean this, and I love Kyle Shanahan. If you were telling me that an NFL coach doesn't know the overtime rule in the postseason, that coach should be fired. He should be fired. I'm sorry. That's not a reason enough to me to you have to know the base. That's not like a deep, obscure rule that no one knows. No, that's a rule that your team voted on. Every team in the NFL voted on this being the thing. I imagine you had some say in this. No, that's not good enough. I didn't know the rule's not good enough. We were talking about the overtime rules. Tell me how you can play a game and you don't know all the rules to win said game. Why are you playing the game? I'm not just out here for fun. No, I'm trying to win. I'm trying to maximize my opportunity to win. And that is obviously not what San Francisco did. A couple people are still mentioning the fact that San Francisco's defense was tired. I don't care. Then let the Chiefs score, and then you go out there and you need to score a touchdown and a two-point conversion. You can win the game right now. There is no justification for giving Kansas City the ball first. It makes absolutely no sense. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com. Yesterday, we were in Lawrence. Today, we are going to head to Columbia to learn more about Mizzou as they get ready for homecoming against the Auburn Tigers. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and the Odyssey app. Yesterday, we went to Kansas. Today, let's head to Columbia, Missouri, and be joined by Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com to get the latest on the Tigers as they head into their homecoming matchup against Auburn. Gabe, some exciting changes with the website. Tell people what they are.
Yeah, same website. Like, if you type in PowerMizzou.com, you're going to end up at our site, which is what we encourage people to do. If you have it bookmarked for another URL, you might be a little confused when you get there, but we moved on October 1st over to the 24/7 Sports Network. Same site, same staff, more content. You know, it's gone, it's been 16 days, seems like about 3 months, and seems to have gone pretty well, at least from our end so far.
Gabe, the perception from everybody from the outside is Missouri kind of got fat off cupcakes, and then when they finally played a real team, they got their doors blown off. Is that the perception around the Missouri program as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair for now until they go beat somebody. You know, I mean, the Vandy win looks better than it did. Even the BC win, like, it's not great, but it's not bad. But that A&M stench is going to hang around at least until Saturday at, you know, about 2:30, and maybe even after that, because Auburn hasn't beaten a power conference team yet either. So even if you beat Auburn, they're going to be 2-5, and I think a lot of people are still going to say, okay, but like, you still haven't really proven anything. And that was always the downside of this schedule, is you just don't have that many chances to impress people.
Gabe, you are right. It's funny just watching this team, and obviously you watched them as closely as anybody. I'm not sure if there has been a game that Missouri has played well that, at least for this season, I don't know what their A game looks like. And I think right. When you look at those games against Boston College and Vanderbilt, most Missouri fans, and myself included, kind of make excuses. Hey, now they're going into the bye week. We're going to see the real Tigers. And then they got pummeled from the absolute jump. I am curious what the best version of the 2024 Missouri Tigers looks like. I don't think any of us have that answer.
Yeah, I think Eli Drinkwitz is curious, to be honest. I mean, you know, we thought we knew kind of the ceiling for this team. Well, they redefined what the floor was at Texas A&M. Like, I did not think Missouri had that performance in them this year. So the floor is lower than we thought. The ceiling, we don't know. And so everybody's sitting here. I mean, I wrote something this morning, best case, worst case for the rest of the year. I can legitimately see this team going 11-1. If they win Saturday, they play well, feel good about themselves, and turn into the team we thought they were, like, every game on their schedule is winnable. I can also see them going 6-6, because maybe that team's just not maybe that was kind of a creation in our own minds, and that team doesn't exist this year. They lose to Auburn. Everything they wanted is off the table, and then who knows how a bunch of college kids are going to react to that. So as much as anybody in the country, like, there's so much variance left of what Missouri could be over the next 7 weeks.
Right now we're talking to Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com. Gabe, there is always a love-hate relationship between Missouri fans and their quarterback. I'm not really sure if Missouri has really loved a quarterback since Chase Daniel. That certainly feels like where we are right now with Brady Cook.
You know, it's so interesting because, like, going into the 2023 season, most people kind of had their minds made up about Brady, right? Like, he can get you to a bowl game. He can't do much more. And then, obviously, he did way more. And, I mean, he got all the love he deserved, and we were writing stories in the offseason of the redemption of Brady Cook going from this guy that nobody wanted to, like, hey, next season could make him literally one of the most loved players in Missouri history. And now we're back to, I think the anger is even more harsh than it was last year for various reasons. Obviously, expectations is part of it. Let's be honest. Paychecks are part of it. You know, I mean, I think people, and I include myself in this, like, I've been harder on players this year than I would have been 5 years ago because they are getting paid. Some of them a pretty good amount of money. Hey, you want the benefits of being a pro athlete, then some of the negatives come with it, too. And it's just been really fascinating. I don't think Brady would use the word fascinating, right? But it's been an interesting arc. And the next 6 weeks will determine what the ultimate story is. I mean, is he a guy that, you know, is looked at maybe a little Blaine Gabbert-like? I mean, they're not the same player, but, like, yeah, it was or a little Drew Locke-like. Hey, it was good. We had that one year, but, like, it always just felt like there should have been more. Or is he going to put himself in the James Franklin, Chase Daniel type conversation of guys that really did elevate this program? And it's insane. I understand this is what we do with quarterback, but what has driven me nuts this year is we just pretend it's just him. Like, either Brady wins or loses, Brady good or bad, you know, black or white. And there are a bunch of guys on this team, and I'll be honest, very few of them have played as well as they need to for Missouri to get where it wants to go.
Gabe, it's funny because I think the theme of this has been what's real and what's not real, and I don't think we have the answer yet. Missouri's defense was so good the first couple of weeks, and they were an absolute disaster against Texas A&M. They've had some injuries pop up over the course of the last couple of days or so. What do you think the real Missouri defense is?
I think it's decent, better than it looked against A&M, not as good as it was last year. I mean, you lose five players to the NFL. That seems likely, right? The hope was, hey, Johnny Walker just stepped in for Darius Robinson. That hasn't happened. The hope was you can get pressure along the defensive line. That hasn't happened. That, you know, Torian O'Pride, Drayden Norwood, Nick Deloach, whoever it is at corner, minimize the loss of Ennis Rakestraw and Chris Abrams-Drain. I'm not sure that's happened. But they're still giving up the fourth fewest explosive plays in the country. They've given up 92 points this season, and 41 of them were on one day. Now, you can't erase that day. Like, that day sticks with Missouri, no question. But if that's an outlier at the end of the year, you know, you're still okay. If you see a couple more days like that, then the rest of it is, yeah, you just played bad teams.
Gabe, I've sort of eliminated the playoff dreams from my mind just for this reason. Just watching Missouri over the first 6 weeks of the season, they're probably going to lose next week on the road against Alabama. And right now, I just don't trust this team to go undefeated in all of their other games. I can't pinpoint exactly which one they'll lose to, but whether it's this week against Auburn, they come out and lay an egg. They got Oklahoma coming up in a couple of weeks. They go on the road to South Carolina. I don't know who they're going to lose to, but this team is not going undefeated the rest of the way outside of Alabama.
Totally fair. And honestly, even if they do go undefeated outside of Alabama, that may not be good enough. You know, I mean, because the best thing you'll have at the end of the year is say, yeah, we won at South Carolina, which is okay. South Carolina might be 6-6, you know, so that may not be enough. The way I've treated it since the A&M game is, look, you cannot eliminate the playoff. Like, they are still, they're one of, I don't know, 30, 35 teams that still are in the running for an at-large bid, right? Don't have to win your conference. You can get it. Like, everybody's still technically alive, I guess, mathematically, if you go win one of these power conference leagues. But you can't take it off the table, but it's also really kind of not worth talking about because, like, the playoff is doable for this team mathematically, but, like, they don't look anything like a playoff team. So until they do, I think you just kind of shelf that conversation and go, hey, go win as many as you can. Hopefully you start playing better. If you get to November 9th against Oklahoma and the playoff's still something that we can talk about with four games left in the season, then we talk about it, and then it becomes, you know, a real thing of scoreboard watching and all that. But for right now, I completely understand anybody that says you're an idiot if you're talking about the playoff with it.
That is Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com joining us on the show. They have joined the 24/7 network. Be sure to go check them out. Gabe, it's always great to talk football with you, man. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Carrington. We'll talk to you, man.
Absolutely. Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com joining us on the show today. Just wanted to get his thoughts. As Missouri had, they didn't have a bye week last week, but they had a down week against UMass, and they're back to SEC play. It's homecoming. They have Auburn on a Saturday. Tomorrow is K-State Day. Wildcats, I know you guys always feel left out of things. We are going to head to Manhattan next week. We did Lawrence yesterday. We're saving the best for last. K-State fan, we're also going to have Chris Kleiman on the show next week. You know, we gotta make you guys feel included. K-State, we want you to know we appreciate you here on The Drive. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get through the biggest storylines heading into this week in the NFL. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.